Well, seeing how it's summertime, I thought I'd begin my homily this morning with a story about a teenage girl who went to camp. And she was on this large dock where some of her friends were sitting on the dock. Some of them were sunbathing. Others were playing cards. And others of her friends were in a rowboat getting ready to go out onto the lake. And the one set of friends said, "Stay with us." And the other friend said in the boat, "No, no, come with us." And she had one foot on the dock and the other foot was just kind of getting into the boat as the rowboat went away from the dock. And this poor girl, who that morning had spent over an hour doing her hair, fell into the water and her hair got wet. Now, this is the theme that is addressed in our readings today. The scriptures tell us this morning that there will be times in our lives where following Jesus Christ will require of us making a decision. There will be times in life where we will have to say yes to one thing and no to another in order to follow Him. And of course, the action we can sometimes take is like the girl swimming back to the dock. We try to say yes to everything, and we end up falling between the seams and maybe being more than just wet. We feel miserable because we know that in our soul we are divided. And so this morning, the theme of my homily is to answer the question, what does it mean to be a sure-footed disciple? How do we live our lives that we are grounded and we know where we stand? There are many people who believe in God. There are many people who even say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to our world 2,000 years ago. But it says in the letter to James that even the devil believes this. What the difference is between someone who just believes in God and someone who follows Jesus Christ is the difference between a believer and a disciple. And what we are invited to is to come into this deepening relationship with God, where each day the choices we are making are choices that declare we want to follow Him. One of the great beauties of our Catholic faith is how in every Mass we have what's called the Collect. That prayer at the beginning of the liturgy that tries to articulate something of what our focus is to be. And I found that today's collect is a particular prayer of a disciple. Let me read part of it to you again. O God, You have prepared for those who love You good things which no eye can see. Fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of Your love, so that loving You in all things and above all things, we may attain Your promises which surpass every human desire. So here's the first thing about a disciple. A disciple is a man or a woman who understands that the unseen world is greater than the seen world. That which we hold on to through the theological virtues of faith and hope, the reality of heaven, and the fullness of eternal life is what ultimately motivates the way the disciple lives each day in his or her physical life. But it's not just that. It's also that man or woman who has come to experience, as the Collect says, the warmth of the love of God. I had such a beautiful day on Thursday. Thursday was the feast day of the Assumption. And it just happened on that morning that this was the first time that Father RJ and I got to be at Mass together. And Deacon Stephen was with us, and then at the last minute, Father Terry showed up. And I was just sitting here as a concelebrant, and my heart was filled with this warmth, with this love, as I looked on my brothers, and I looked out on the 100-plus people who chose to come to Mass that morning. And there was just a sense of saying, God, this is good. It is good to be here. It is good to know Your love. Perhaps you've had times at Mass where you've had a similar experience. Or maybe there's another context where you've just been aware of God's love for you. Maybe you've been out on a walk and you've heard the bird song, or it's been a day where it hasn't rained, and you're able to see the glory of the mountains, or maybe you've been in the mountains themselves, or you've read something in Scripture, or there's a book you're reading, or a song you're listening to, or a conversation that you have had that fills you with a sense of the warmth of the love of God. For you see, discipleship at its very heart is not about following a bunch of rules. Discipleship is about our relationship with God. And the more we have this deepening awareness of how he loves us, then, as our collect also says, we will love him in all things and above all things. Isn't that lovely? To love God in all things, in every relationship, in every interaction, to love God, but to love him above all things. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, it is this that the saints so clearly understood. In our reading from Hebrews chapter 12, we come to the end of this amazing passage. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about these Old Testament characters like Abraham, like Moses, like Enoch, those who were looking for a better country, who understood what it is to put the unseen world before the seen world. And then as he gets to chapter 12, he says, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Wasn't that a great football game last night if you watched it? But what a sad ending. But what was so exciting about it was right to the end. We were cheering. We were thinking, go Steps, go. Oh no, that didn't count. You were out of bounds. But there is something that this passage from Hebrews is trying to convey, that the saints are, for us, that great cloud and that great crowd of witnesses who are cheering us on because we're still in the game. It's not over for us yet. And the saints are those men and women who understand two things, that we need to persevere. And secondly, that we need to understand, as this reading says, that there is a weight, there is a sin that clings so closely to us. And what is that sin? Well, in Hebrews, it takes on a particular expression. I want to go back to chapter 2, verse 1, where the writer says the following. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard. Listen to this. Lest we drift away. Wow. Pay closer attention to the revelation of God, lest we drift away. Then in chapter 10, he puts it like this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. That is what we've heard. Let us hold fast to this confession of hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Now listen to this. Let us consider how we can stir one another up to good works and to love, not neglecting to meet together, as some have the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more that we see the day drawing near. What's the day? When the unseen world will become the seen world for us. But listen to what the writer says. We can either drift away or we can come to the habit of no longer meeting together. We stop going to Mass. We disconnect ourselves from the church. Two types of people are described here. The one who is like that unmoored boat. And then the other who is like the person who is centered in Christ. Another place in Hebrews, he puts it this way. Jesus Christ is the anchor for our soul. The anchor, so that we can be established in our faith. And so all of us have to be aware of this sin that clings so closely. The sin of apathy, the sin of indifference, the sin that can lead to ultimately saying, I choose to say the only world that matters is this visible world. There is nothing else. And so, Hebrews says, look to Jesus. Jesus, the quarterback of the team. Jesus, the one who is the pioneer. He is the perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the one who, for the joy set before him, the joy of our salvation, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of heaven, endured the cross. And then the writer says, you and I, We haven't yet endured to the point of giving up our lives, have we? No, we haven't. But we are called to a life of endurance. Because, my friends, and with this I conclude, we live in a world where it is so easily encountered to become discouraged. In our reading from the Old Testament, we hear of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who lived 600 years before Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, who knew that from before his birth, in his conception, he was called by God to be a disciple. Jeremiah, who had an incredibly hard time. And now here we are in the 38th chapter, and the people are accusing him of not having Israel's good in mind. And what he's saying to them is, boys and girls, we are collapsing. And they have this vassal king named Zedekiah, who's no king at all. He has no courage. He has no intention to make any kind of decision. And so he says, well, Jeremiah is in your hands. I guess you have to throw him into the cistern and leave him there to die. And then it's a man from Ethiopia, he's not even a Jew, who comes along, Ebed-Melech, and he thinks in his right mind that there's an injustice being done here. We need to rescue Jeremiah. But my beloved friends, we live in a world where there are so many who would, like the people of faith of the Old Testament, try to dismiss those who are like Jeremiah. They might not literally put us into a cistern, but they want to ridicule and scorn those who live with an understanding of what it is to put God first. But then even more challenging is the discouragement we face in our families. Jesus puts it so clearly, I did not come to bring peace, but to bring division. Really? I thought you are the Prince of Peace. And of course he is. But what Jesus wants us to understand is the following, that if in a family there is that person or those persons who choose to put him first, it's going to lead to misunderstanding. When I chose to become a Roman Catholic, I had family members who could not imagine what I was doing. I had a brother who said, "You never cease to amaze me," and it was not meant as a compliment. The point is this, that to put Jesus Christ first doesn't mean that we don't care for our families, but it means that we are choosing to live as disciples. St. Ambrose, who was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and was instrumental in the conversion of St. Augustine, wrote an exposition of the Gospel of St. Luke. And listen to how St. Ambrose interprets today's Gospel. This is 1,500 years old, and it's as relevant today as it was when he first said it. Quoting St. Ambrose, "Are we to believe that Jesus has commanded discord within families? He does not say that a father is to be rejected by his children, but that God is to be set before all. You are not forbidden to love your parents, but you are forbidden to prefer them to God. Natural children are true blessings from the Lord, and no one must love the blessing that he has received more than God, by whom the blessing has been given." Do you see what Ambrose is saying? We're to be disciples. A disciple puts Jesus Christ first. A disciple is the kind of man or woman who says that nothing can take precedence over the call to live as a follower of Jesus. And this will, and I know many of you have experienced this, it leads to misunderstandings in your family where people think you're really loopy. And they might not want to literally put you down into the cistern, but they sure want to shut you up because they don't want to hear what you have to say or what your life represents. So we may not be like the teenage girl at the summer camp, indecisive to whom we listen to, but then again, we may be like her. However, what we're called to today is to keep our eyes on Jesus. We are to stir one another up to love and good works as we love Jesus in all things and above all things, and so attain to God's promises, so that one day we will share fully in Christ's victory and know what surpasses every human desire. To live this way will give us the balance so that we can be sure-footed disciples.